have in this world is my boss, my word, and I don't break them. Do you understand?
Well, I'm upper class, high society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all.
It is Friday, January 23rd, 2015, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And this is Eric.
And I'm Ted.
Now, Ted.
Yes.
It's been a minute.
It has.
I've missed you, buddy.
I've missed you, too.
Now, is there anything going on here?
There's.
I love that song.
Do you? You know, there might be a reason why I played this song.
I'm sure this is going to be news to everybody, but go ahead. You go ahead. Take the reins on this one, buddy.
All right. Well, Eric and I are getting right into it this week, where we normally kind of have a little bit of witty banter going back and forth. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to save that for all the ball jokes that we can fit.
Jesus, yeah.
All right. So, just in a recap, I went to the AFC Championship game last week.
Yes, you did.
As you know, that was one of the reasons for our lack of a weekend show last week.
Yes.
It was out on the normal recording time.
How was the game?
I got to tell you, man, as a Cowboys fan, being in that environment, that place was electric.
And you know what? That's what I heard from a couple of my other friends who have been to many Patriots games. They said it was a little bit different.
You know, and that was kind of the thing that really struck me was I was with a diehard lifer Patriot fan. Like, this guy goes back to the Steve Grogan era. And by the way, I want to make sure I say for the record, it doesn't really matter, I think, when people become fans of a team. You know, like, there's been a lot of, like, I see a lot of people talking about bandwagons and fair weather fans and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I run into it a lot when the Cowboys are good.
Okay.
Like, when the Cowboys come back and they're good. Like, nobody knows.
All the people that all of a sudden liked them when they were five are I've been my whole life.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to tell you, that doesn't bother me in the least. The fact that I had to live through Babe Laufenberg, mm-hmm. but they migrated over to Steve Young when that was going on, I don't really care. The more people, the merrier. Come on. Just get on the bandwagon.
Sure.
Let's have a great time. If you can't...
Well, see, I hate the bandwagon jumpers. Offers.
People who jump off the bandwagon?
Yeah.
And I
don't mind people joining.
Oh, see, and I think that you might be onto a little something. I think we're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. But as a quick recap, at the end of the AFC Championship game, somehow, some way, it was discussed, revealed, thought to be that the Patriots had underinflated the footballs. Everybody knows the story now. Who would
the Patriots?
The Patriots, the New England Patriots, had at some point mm-hmm. underinflated the footballs. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just curious. Are we going to go with the chronology of information?
Sure, let's go with that.
Because then that'd be a little bit different.
All right, let's talk about the chronology.
Okay. So, Patriots must have deflated the balls after the fact, throughout the whole game, and was like that throughout the whole game. And the only reason that it came to light was because of an interception made by
DeQuell Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And then he told his coach that something wasn't right. And then he told the GM. And after the game, the GM called the NFL and you know.
Or actually called the NFL at halftime.
Yeah, but that's not how it was portrayed when it first came out.
Okay, all right.
So that's what it was. It was Patriots were using deflated balls the whole game, and an interception is what tipped off the management.
Okay.
That's step one.
That was story number one.
Story number one, yes.
Story number two. Story number two, that was on November 13th, if memory serves. Somebody had intercepted Tom Brady twice and decided he was going to keep the balls, and he thought that something was amiss and gave them to the equipment manager, who then reported to the team that the balls were underinflated, and that went upstairs, and to some extent, the NFL may have laid a trap for the Patriots all the way out to the AFC Championship game, mind you. Like, and
because that seems appropriate.
And then discussed at what temperature does jet fuel burn steel?
Yeah, yes.
Then
yes.
When did the third tower collapse?
So
some sort of conspiracy theory
yep.
started to emerge about that the NFL knew that the Patriots were underinflating footballs,
yep,
going all the way back into November.
Supposedly,
so they played, yeah, all the games in November, all the games
just
in
so they could
December,
get
so they could get them if they ended up playing the Colts, right, again later on.
Now, if that were true, which it's not, but if that were true, mm-hmm, wouldn't as a member of, say, the Ravens or the Colts or anybody else they played after, wouldn't they be offended and be like, wait a minute, so you know they were doing something against the rules and yet you allowed it to happen to us? And none of it made sense. The stories and spins that were being put on this by the media and by the journalists is absurd.
Well, hold on. Let's lay off the media just for a minute, because they're going to get their own ass kicking in a little while. Ron Mott, I'm looking at you. You need a punch in the throat. Buddy.
Brunel, so he needs a punch in the throat too.
Right? Yeah. Let's line them all up. Yeah,
don't cry on national TV over the deflated balls.
Over Tom Brady being a liar. Yeah. But we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. But now, the first thing in my goal here, right now, is to be the calming voice for you, Patriot Nation. Okay, we broadcast out of New England, lovely Tower 19.
Tower 19.
And I want to make sure that I echo something that Aaron Rodgers said to every one of you on his radio show after week 3. R-E-L-A-X.
Relax.
Relax, everybody.
Relax.
First of all, Eric, do me a favor.
Okay.
You are going to portray the role of a Ravens fan.
Oh, come on now.
No, you have to. Well, you know what? Get your Tony Flacco jersey out of the closet.
All right.
Yeah, all right. And you're going to be Raven fan.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can do this.
Question to you, Raven fan.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm picking the Ravens only because it's just the easiest team to... Okay, I could say Steeler fan.
Well, they cried about the formations, and you know they had a hand in this somehow. Sour grapes and stuff, so it's a logical place to start.
Okay, so Raven fan, are the Patriots cheaters?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, what?
Spygate.
Once a cheater,
always a cheater.
Okay, good. Now, Patriot Nation, Raven fan doesn't know I'm actually talking to you alone, but I'm going to tell you how to respond to that. Do you know what Spygate was, Raven fan?
Yeah, they were recording the practices and warm-ups of the... Yeah. And they were using that information against us, and that's why we lost.
Okay, now, Patriot Nation, I'm talking back to you again, and Raven fan can't hear me. I want you to know that Spygate, or that's what it's called, actually was a transgression by the Patriots after everybody in the league, for all intents and purposes, was pointing cameras at the sidelines. A memo went out among the league, and it said where you can point those cameras. That being said, the Patriots ignored that memo and continued to record the way they had. Coach Eric Mangini of the New York Jets said they're still doing it the way you said not to.
Because he was there.
Because he was at the game and turned around and said they're still recording the way they shouldn't. Now, Raven fan, now that you can hear me again.
Yes.
Did the Patriots get in trouble for recording practices?
Well, I guess not.
They didn't, did they?
No.
Did they get in trouble at all for recording walkthroughs?
No, I guess not.
Do you have any evidence of them ever recording walkthroughs or recording practices?
Well, I mean, what's the evidence?
Nice job, Raven fan. And see, Patriot Nation, that's how
Where's
you win.
Where's the white suit?
Where's the white suit? Now, if you want to listen to Ray Lewis a couple of weeks ago talking about nobody would know who Tom Brady was if it wasn't for the Tuck rule. Of course, we can go back and we can talk about Ray Lewis and the double murder and the fact that the people that he was involved in killing.
I don't have time for his nonsense.
Yeah, the people he was involved in killing. Yeah, those guys aren't going home to their families. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what you think your God is going to forgive you for this, if God is real, I would love to be a fly on the wall in heaven when he throws you out.
You only get forgiven if you acknowledge that you did something wrong.
Wait a minute. Did you find a spiritual loophole?
I'm just saying. You got to acknowledge
it. You found Ray Lewis's spiritual loophole.
Yeah, he continues to lie to himself on a daily basis.
So you're telling me now, Raven fan, back to our conversation, Raven fan, you are, by the way, for a Raven fan, you're remarkably articulate and intelligent. Sorry.
I take that as a compliment.
You shouldn't. What else have the Patriots done? You know, one of the things that Patriots fans woke up to...
Well, what about the... What are you talking about? Those were illegal formations. All right, we should have won that game. The Patriots should not have been in the AFC Championship game. That was deceitful. It was hurtful. My grandkids are very upset about this and disappointed.
Yeah.
And they're crying to me, Grandpa, why?
And when he said the NFL will look into it, and they did, it looks like they did, and they realized that that wasn't any illegal formations, and there was actually...
But it was very deceitful nonetheless.
Oh, okay. Again... There you go, Patriot Nation. Raven fan can't hear me again. You have won that conversation as well. Because, again, they have no evidence of any impropriety. Now, can you allege anything that the Patriots have done?
Well, I allege that they're a bunch of ball deflators.
Oh, see, now we're back to the story at hand.
Mm.
And here's where this story starts to take shape. Going back into our timeline here, and we're talking about all these different things, let's talk for a minute about process. And what happens during this process is about 2.5 hours before the game, the referees examine the footballs with the quarterbacks present or the quarterbacks selected footballs, and they measure them to spec. They'll give them the kind of the Charmin squeeze, as it were. And they'll... approve
but
the ball.
You're not supposed to squeeze the Charmin.
Well, it didn't stop people from doing it, of course. But I could tell when this only had 500 sheets in the roll. So they examine the balls and then they approve them for the game. Now, at some point in that first half, the Patriots balls lost pressure.
And where are you getting that from?
Oh, this is a great question.
The NFL came out and said that, right? The NFL said that the game balls were deflated.
The only thing that has happened from the NFL is a letter was sent to the New England Patriots that I think it was Gordon Eads of the Boston Globe got his hands on. And the letter from the NFL to the Patriots said 11 of your footballs were 2 pounds of pressure per square inch. Not 2 pounds.
Yeah, it's not
light.
2 pounds. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
now, a football weighs about a pound.
Yeah. We're talking about a gram difference.
It's an ounce. It's an ounce.
I'm sorry.
It's about an ounce difference. Okay.
It's so tough to get those confused.
Not that you know anything about that subculture.
No, not at all.
But it's about a couple of ounces difference. And there's definitely a difference in pliability. Okay. There is a difference in pliability. Like if somebody handed you a ball inflated at like 13.5 or 11, as the case were, and said to you, one of these balls is softer than the other, figure which one out.
Right, you'll be able to do that.
It would be relatively easy for you to do that.
Absolutely. So that little charade that Brunel did on ESPN.
I'm going to ask you to get into that Brunel thing because you were dialed into that tight. So, but let me just finish this little thing about this. So again, Patriots fans, like you're dying here. You're dying inside. You woke up on Monday morning and you started to hear this. And the first words that came to your mouth, and do not lie, was not again.
Yeah.
It was not again. Why do
come
we
on.
Always come on? Well, let me ask you, Patriot fans, do you feel any worse today? Now, you might feel worse because whether they win or lose the Super Bowl, people still call them cheaters. But you know what? If they went out and won the Super Bowl anyway, would Ravens fans suddenly say, oh, you know what? You're right. They're not cheaters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Steelers fans are always going to be butthurt.
8 years after Spygate, 8 years after, it still gets brought up and it's still used as a defense, as a shield. For
interesting choice
older,
of words.
Over, yeah, oh, yeah, over, you know, Ravens fans.
Sure. But the Ravens have won 2 Super Bowls.
But they talk more than
they're
the
a great organization.
than the Oakland Raiders and the Tuck Rule.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it's exacerbating.
Okay. But then you break this down. Let's go back to the beginning. What have the Patriots ever been found guilty of doing? Taping signals on the opponent's sideline.
Yep.
Period. End of story.
When they were
nothing
told
else.
To
when
not
they were told to
anymore.
Stop.
Yeah.
When a memo went out to the league and said, to clarify, don't do this again.
Yep.
And the Patriots did it. Did you?
But Bill Belichick looked at it as in, well, you're not being specific about where they can be, so I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing until you stop me.
Yeah. And they stopped him. To the tune of draft picks and $750,000 across
and,
the thing.
And there you go. And now I got to say one thing about that. And I believed it then, and I believe it now. It was, I'm a risk versus reward guy. We talk about this a lot. Mm-hmm. Risk versus reward. Bob Kraft asked Belichick, what, on a scale of 1 to 100, how much did that help us? How much did that help the team?
It was negative 1.
He said 1.
Right?
He said
oh,
1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 1.
And allegedly he said, well, that makes you the biggest schmuck.
Yeah.
Because why? Why would you do that for such a minimum reward?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bill Belichick's personality in his mind is because I can.
Sociopathic, meaning yep. like defining sociopath is somebody who literally believes in their heart of hearts and their mind of minds that the rules don't apply to them, and that's why you see it. Like
if it's Belichick, a stupid rule that he can ignore,
yeah, right. like and he thinks that
for right
he
or
can
wrong,
ignore it, for right or wrong, yeah.
So that's where I always had a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with what they did. I just had a problem with why. And then actually, my first response. When I woke up on Monday morning,
as a Dolphins fan,
why?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you bother?
Yeah,
why would you bother? And I got to tell you, and we'll get to it later because we're still early in the timeline here. When we get to the talk about the press conference, I'll get into that part of it. But go ahead.
So, getting back to sort of where we were in Patriots fans, and you had this anxiety, and you woke up and you thought, oh, God, not again. Well, you know what? What you need to do is let's go back to the beginning. They were found guilty of a single infraction that, again, Jimmy Johnson, back-to-back Super Bowl champion Jimmy Johnson, the Dallas Cowboys, said, oh, my God, we did that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and he wasn't the only one.
George Allen, yeah. You know, this is a coach going back to the 60s. George Allen rented out all of the buildings across the street from his practice facility so that nobody could rent them out and watch them because the amount of subterfuge that used to go on and that level of the NFL, and by the way, an era that Bill Belichick sort of comes from.
It's called gamesmanship. It's called, you know what, if I'm at second base and I'm stealing your signs, shame on you.
Yeah, exactly. But the cutoff is you can't take binoculars into center field and look at them the whole game. Okay.
Right.
Now, right this minute, one thing that people might not know is guess who's in an awful lot of trouble right now for an illegal use of technology? The Browns.
The Browns. Please.
The owner of the Cleveland Browns texted his coaching staff during a game. Heard a word about it? Haven't heard it, have you? Eric, you're looking at me right now. This is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Eric and I have been together talking about crazy crap like this, just like this, for over a decade. And you're looking at me. You have no idea.
Not a clue.
Not a clue. The Cleveland Browns right now are facing a loss of a draft pick and a fine for an illegal use of technology because their owner was looking across the field, noticed something, and texted it to his coaching
and
staff.
And apparently that's illegal?
No, it's illegal. Can't
why?
Can't use cell phones on the sidelines. That's why all players, everybody, they all leave their stuff in their locker. The coaches have to, yes. Everybody's got
to
leave.
Explain to me why.
Because the NFL said so. That's the neither here nor there part of it.
I'm just wondering what advantage one would get by having a cell phone.
Well, if you had a cell phone in your pocket and you had somebody sitting directly behind the visitor's bench, say, and they overheard something,
okay, so it's like a phone. It's sure. Like a phone at a poker game.
Like a phone at a poker game.
I got you.
Like binoculars in center field looking at signals.
All right.
Something like that. So the owner of the Cleveland Browns was texting his staff. He's in trouble. Haven't heard a word about it, have you?
Now, what the heck would the owner even see? What does he know enough to see to clue in the coaches?
No idea. So it doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't
matter. You know what the point that matters is? Patriots fans, you and your team are a target.
Criminals.
There you go. There's Raven fan. He showed back up. Hey, Raven fan, you can leave now. I have no more use for you, Raven fan.
We had no use for him from the beginning.
No, but... And leave the Tony Flacco jersey, though, because we bow to it.
Yes, all right.
So, Patriots fans had this anxiety. They woke up. I talked to a lot of Patriots fans this week, and they were puking. Why? Again.
Because they know what comes next.
And what comes next?
All the haters come out of the woodwork, and I'd love to use a different word for it, but that's what they are.
I know.
That's
I know.
What they are.
Yeah.
They either hate us because you ain't us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and it's tough to, because I don't like the word either, but truly, it's the definition
they
is people
hate
who hate
the
you.
Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Correct.
Period.
Yeah. And now, does Bill Belichick push the envelope on the rules? I think he does.
Of course he does, because he's a great coach, one of the best coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he will push the envelope in every little facet regardless of how small. It answers my question about why would you tape the sideline if it only helped you 1 out of 100? Why? Because it helped you 1 out of 100.
Okay. Exactly.
He's going to give his team every advantage he can walking that line, and that's what makes him a winner. It's what makes the Patriots a winner. It's what makes people want to play for him and people to be him.
Correct. Now, as you've started to break it down, you realize, boy, this really isn't that bad. We also know very clearly that this had no effect on the outcome of the game. None.
Tell me why.
Tell me why,
because this is not how it was perceived at the beginning. And yet, as soon as the information came out, people kind of shirked it aside and was like, oh, well, yeah, but that doesn't matter. So why didn't it affect the game? What happened in the second half? What were they using in the second half?
Go back, please, if you can, and maybe even watch kind of like an abbreviated version of the game if it shows up, excuse me, on NFL Network or anything like that. One of the things that I noticed was in the first half, Patriots had 4 drops. And they were pretty uncharacteristic drops.
Yeah.
Balls hitting Gronkowski and Edelman in the hands.
It's a little bit of a sloppy first half.
It was a little bit
half.
Sloppy.
Yeah.
And the score at the halftime was
17-7. Yep.
And by the way, the Colts' 7 points, helped by a massive penalty from Vince Wilfork,
yes,
looked like work. Now, the Patriots' two touchdown scoring drives, I apologize, yes, didn't look like work. They actually looked pretty effortless. Yeah. When they went up 14-0, yep, you started to see a blowout coming.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember the Ravens game the week earlier when the Ravens went out 14-0?
It did not feel like it was over.
No,
and not at all. And even when they went up by 14 again.
Yeah, you were like, oh, they just already came back, so let's see what's next.
Yeah.
So getting back to the game, the Colts drive, touchdown drive, looked like a work, man. It looked like labor. And they finally scored their touchdown, and it's 17-7. Patriots going at halftime.
Did they score again?
No, that was it. The final score was 45-7.
So, but they could have won that game if the Patriots didn't cheat.
So we come out to the third quarter, and the Patriots are about to take a snap, and the referee comes over, the side judge, actually, and the referee, take one of the balls out of play.
Now, it took almost a minute.
Now, it took about a minute.
And what did they tell him?
Now, here's one of the things that's a little bit sketchy about this, about the timing on this.
The game balls weren't ready. That's what they said.
They said to Tom Brady, apparently, the game ball's not ready, and threw them another one. But have you watched the amount of TV timeouts that get increased during playoff games and during Super Bowls and things like that?
Money,
right?
Money, money.
We're in the AFC Championship game. I'm sitting there at the AFC Championship game watching this happen on the field.
Yep.
And I'm dialed into TV timeouts. Like, I watch for
things
like that.
Because stuff is going on that we can't see when we're at home. So you take that opportunity to see what the heck's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So I'm watching things on the sidelines.
Yeah, your peripheral.
And I'm looking around at the things that that you're not seeing on TV. And it looked to me like a TV timeout.
Yeah.
And the referee didn't come over. At no point did I see the officials go over.
Nope.
Not that I was looking for it, by the way. It's not like it was a huge thing for me.
But it would have stood out.
It would have been conspicuous.
You know what I mean?
It would have been conspicuous.
Exactly.
Nobody walked over to Tom Brady and said and started this dialogue with him. Nobody could have said.
But you'd go to the coach, and they didn't do that either.
They didn't do that either. So nobody walked over to either one of them and gave any detailed explanation of why those balls were coming out. He just shouted something and then threw them a new ball. And then they just went on and played and scored 28 more points.
28-0 in the second half.
28-0 in the second half.
3 touchdown passes by Brady.
Correct. Now,
with proper balls.
With the properly inflated ball.
Yeah, that too.
Now, here's what I think one of the, I guess if you need to have a problem with this, if just generally speaking, if you have to have a problem with this, your problem with this is the chronological order of events that got the balls under that, to that 11 or 9.5 or whatever they were. All right, that PSI. Yeah. Because here's what's supposed to happen. Quarterbacks go in with the referees. These are the balls that I want. The referees examine the footballs and approve them for the game. The game begins 2.5 hours later. At some point, the Patriots' initial 12 balls were pulled out of that game and the contingency balls were brought in, allegedly. I don't know if that's the case or if the original balls were reinflated. One report from Kansas City 810 ESPN Radio in Kansas City said they reinflated those balls. Yeah,
from what I understand,
balls.
That's a false report. Okay. That is not what happened.
It was
the backup, but there was 24 balls. The first 12, after that, were taken out. And then the backup balls, which were to specs, were put into play.
There you go.
There was no reinflating of the balls. They were there. They used the backup balls.
Okay. Now, this is why I'm saying that where I don't dispute a guy like Glazer or Mortensen. But if I don't have a report, the only thing that I've been able to validate was this letter from the NFL that went to the Patriots that was reproduced for the Globe, and it said that yes, the Patriots' initial 12 balls were deemed to be underinflated.
Yes.
Okay. Now the problem here is at some point after the referees examined these balls, and by the time that this football was kicked off, the balls lost pressure.
See, that's not how I see that.
Talk to me.
That's not how I see that at all. There's a reason why the NFL hasn't made a statement. There's a reason why the NFL has not talked to Tom Brady.
Hasn't what?
The NFL has not talked to Tom Brady. It is now Thursday. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be hopping on a plane in a couple of days to go to Arizona. All right, 1 week to the Super Bowl. They have not talked to Tom Brady about this because they've already talked to Belichick.
Okay.
He said, I have no knowledge of it, and I absolutely believe him. Because when it comes to the balls, it is a thing between the quarterback and the quarterback. And that's it. He doesn't give a shit. Like he says, if people are complaining about the balls at practice, what does he do? He makes them worse. He soaks them in water. He'll freeze them. Yeah. He'll heat them up, deflate them, overinflate them. Whatever it is to make it harder in practice for the balls under all conditions. So Brady hasn't been talked to. Nothing's been released. Nothing at all except Mortensen's report.
And one fact there, and then another fact from Glazer, and another fact from, you know, this guy, you know, Schefter. And
so now I'm sitting here, because I watched the press conferences today. And I heard Brady, and I was taken aback when he said, yeah, that nobody's talked to me. Nobody's talked to me about anything. Okay. Somebody dropped the ball, and it wasn't the Patriots. It was the officials.
All right, so
I don't believe that those balls were properly measured and tested for the pressure prior to that game.
Yeah, but the referee said that he did.
Yeah. Can he prove it? If he could prove it, I'm telling you now, especially with Goodell with his hair across his butt for Belichick, that if they had proof and absolute assurity from that staff that those balls were indeed at the exact level of PSI that it needed to be and all that stuff, this would already have been dealt with. The NFL would have made an announcement to that fact. And would have made the Patriots answer for that. That's not happening. It has not happened. They can't verify that those balls were checked properly.
Now,
this is over.
So this is over in your
mind?
This
is over.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you think that now you saw that. And now let's do this real quick. And I'm glad you're all with us this week to talk about this. And number one, we hope that Patriots fans have calmed down just a tiny bit and we can be a little bit of a voice of reason in this forest of stupidity. Number two, Eric and I are very, very happy to be back on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social and promise to get back on a regular schedule as soon as we possibly can. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're actually going to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the press conference stuff today.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we found out during these press conferences. And most importantly,
and then we promise we will move on from there.
Yeah, without a doubt. But one of the things most importantly that I want to make sure we touch on is the media's treatment of this and the way with which they treat the New England Patriots particularly.
Big balls, but we've got the biggest balls of them all.
some for fancy dress. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night. Oh, we've got big balls! We've got big balls! We've got big balls! Dirty big balls! He's got big balls! She's got big balls! But we've got the biggest balls of them all!
We got big balls! We got big balls!
And then just itching to tell you about them.
Welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
That was pretty abrupt, and I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. And so let's get back into our conversation. I'm glad you stuck around with us, and I hope you feel a little bit better.
Where else was I
going
to go?
Oh,
well,
you're talking
to them.
I was talking to the loyal members of the social. So, you know, Eric, so I wanted you to get into this a little bit. I know I sort of commandeered the first segment.
Yes.
Because I needed Patriots fans just to calm down and get a little bit of perspective, and I hope we did that a little bit.
Yeah.
But today was press conference day.
Yes.
And they started at about 9:30 this morning with Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
I got
to
tell you, I was surprised at how much he gave.
I think a lot of people were.
I got to say. And but then, of course, some of the other people, that's still not enough. Oh, I figured that he was going to say. No, you didn't. You thought he was going to say, no comment, the league's handling it, we're cooperating, move on. That's not what he did.
No.
He came out. Not only did he say he knew nothing about this, he actually went so far as to say, in his 40-year career, he has never been around it, haven't been addressed, ever been involved with the inflating, deflating, or the condition of game balls.
Here comes an important point about the media assassination that's sort of going on.
Mm.
One of the things that Belichick said is, I have no idea about the process. And everybody jumped on it.
Yes, of course.
Wait, because the full quote was a lot more, and forgive me for having to paraphrase. We don't have permission to use the NFL stuff here.
Mm.
Just kidding. We just didn't bother.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah. But no, he said, I don't have any idea how this is handled other than 2.5 hours before the game, the quarterbacks get together with the referee and then explain the entire process.
Right, the basics of it.
So what
happened
was,
He's never there. He's not there when this happens.
Yep.
He's not there after. He doesn't talk to Tom about it. He doesn't talk to his staff about it. He's got other things to deal with. And this is what I've been trying to explain to some of these morons, is that this is a quarterback. This is a very personal relationship between the quarterback and his balls.
You've been dying for like
I had to.
Dude, for like 2 days you've been texting me. Come on, I got this one joke I want to use
balls
on the social. I got a balls joke.
It's very, very personal. And you've heard it. You hear about the stories of guys really beating up these balls because they got to get it to feel just right. Or Aaron Rodgers talking about, I overinflate these things. I try to get away with as much as I can. And I inflate them over what the league required amount is.
Well, and hold on. So if the league checks all the time,
wouldn't they catch that?
Every single
exactly.
time.
Exactly. So it doesn't. It's not a thorough process, as some people might think, which is why, again, I stand by what I said before. This is going to be a non-issue. Somebody dropped the ball. The Patriots didn't deflate anything.
So now anecdotal evidence suggests that Bill Belichick was really crapping his pants while he was out there today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He looked nervous. No. It's called when you walk into a situation, you got 27 different networks putting their cameras
on you. Hold on.
I can't.
Hold on. Stop. How many networks?
27. You could have seen the press conference on 27 different channels.
Okay, hold on. How many networks covered the Ray Rice?
What was that? Maybe two or three? We'll get into that in a second because there's a lot of weird parallels that we can look at.
Okay, go ahead.
So what you saw there was a grown man who literally has nothing to do with the process of selecting the balls for his quarterback knowing that he's going to have to answer questions to these idiots.
But if I go in and I hear Bill Belichick, and this is what
calm
you heard.
Calm as a bomb.
This is what you heard. You heard everybody from Felger and Maz to everybody, forget it, for everybody in the major media outlets in New England.
Kornheiser.
Everybody. Cherry pick. Bomb. Half a line.
Yep.
I have no idea about the process. But if you let that play out, it's, I have no idea about the process
Except, outside of
the process.
The process.
So I understand the process, but I don't go in there with Tom. Right. I don't do that
stuff. It has nothing to do with him, and that's my point. So and people are, oh, I don't know if I believe Belichick. Oh, I don't believe him. I think he's lying. Bullshit. Well, excuse my language, sir. But it's crap.
Okay.
He went up there, and he denied having any knowledge of these deflating balls or the process in which they might have happened and selecting the balls, yada, yada, yada. And then again, went so far as to say in his 40 years, he's never been involved in that.
And he said, I've learned more about the process in the last 3 years than I have
than
the
I had in my whole career. And I 100% believe that again. And I know it's beating a dead horse. This is coming from a Dolphins fan. Okay. They're my rival. Shouldn't I be jumping on and hopping
and
on?
By the
right?
Way, your other team, interestingly enough,
is the Seattle Seahawks
because you have family in Seattle.
Yeah, and which is the other people that aren't saying anything either.
Yeah, there you go. But wait, 27 networks. So
yeah.
Now Bill Belichick walks out there on the stage and he does look shell shocked. And then when he has to start kind of talking about Brady and all the like, you have to talk to Tom. I don't have these answers.
Oh, but that's Belichick throwing Tom under the bus.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was. That's
oh,
what,
it
that's
was
what
to
I heard.
Everybody
absolutely.
Else, of course.
He's throwing his quarterback under the bus.
Really? Really? He's throwing his quarterback under the
no,
bus.
No, he's telling a fact. If you really want to know what happened,
I don't have that
he was
information.
There. Talk to the quarterback and his balls.
All right, so later on, Eric's, you come in, you call Eric, and hey, Eric, when's the show going to go up onto the website? Eric doesn't have that information.
I don't know. I don't put it up. Ask Ted.
Ask Ted. Well, why? Well, Ted's the one who does the post-production and posts it. Well, you don't know what to do. Eric, if I turned this computer over to you, could you post-produce this show, and could you put it up on the site?
Not at all.
You couldn't do
it?
Nope.
I could press play, maybe.
And he knows how to use some of the software, but that's what I'm talking about. So he goes out there. Is Eric throwing me under the bus? No. Mm. Is Tom Brady getting thrown under the bus? Of course not.
Nope.
No. If you want that information, you're gonna have to ask the guy who's involved in that.
By the way, the same guy that they moved up a day
to
make
sure
that happen. To make sure that it was addressed in the same day.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, something's gonna happen tomorrow.
Oh, is that your timeline?
Yeah. Why else?
Well, you know, my thing about that is I think that honestly, I think that they are trying to get the media out of there.
Good luck.
No. But if they give everybody the press conference, that's another day. Now they get back their facility tomorrow. Okay. So now Ron Mott. Yeah. It doesn't have to be inside Gillette Stadium tomorrow in the facility.
Yeah, exactly. They put it all on the same day. They got Barabbas.
Yep.
And carried on.
And thank you.
Yeah.
And everybody carry on smart.
Get them.
Yep. So you guys all got to go in there today. Everybody got to, and then they got cherry picked. So now Bill Belichick goes out there and everybody starts talking about how nervous he looked. Hey, let me ask you a question. You ever watch like a true crime show? Anything like
I'm a big fan of that. Listen, Homicide Hunter with Joe Kenda. Check it out.
Now, listen, if anybody's going to talk about this stuff anecdotally, I'm going to too.
Yep.
So if somebody's going to say, didn't Belichick look guilty?
No.
No.
He looked like a guy that didn't have the answers to the questions he was going to be asked.
He looked like a guy who had no clue.
Yep.
And went, I didn't do anything. What are you people
I know
asking
I gotta be
me?
Here, but
I know I have to be here, but no, what? No. I don't have the answers
exactly.
that you're asking. Yeah. That's what he looked like to me. So somebody says, and this was on the Sports Hub today, 98.5, and I forget which program. And then somebody said, he didn't find that out on Sunday night. He didn't hear about that until Monday morning.
Yeah.
Dude's in
what about when they took the ball?
You don't think that he has things that he's got to worry about?
Of course.
At the beginning of the third quarter of a game? I don't care about
people forget about that
shit.
You know a head coach gets maybe 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night?
This guy...
For the majority of the year?
This story breaks at 1 a.m. The guy got out of the game at, what, 10, 11, 12 maybe?
No, even later than that. So, no, even later than that.
And the guy just goes home and goes to
11:30, they were just not even getting the trophy yet. They were still gathering around. So, no. Like, he was probably still in the locker room or on a team bus or however that works.
And then he goes home and goes to bed.
At 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And so the next day, he wakes up and finds out the story. So, why would you have to just question him about when he found out? And that's what I'm talking about.
Vultures. That's what they are. They're vultures.
And
they're
why?
They're just circling.
Now, and again, it's because the Patriots are a lightning rod.
They're winners.
And they got caught when people say...
breaking the rules.
7-8 years ago. And they did their time for their crime. Mm-hmm. And
draft picks are pretty costly.
And their crime, again, was improper placement of a camera on the sideline.
That's right.
Okay? That's what their infraction was. Improper camera placement.
Yes.
Okay?
Let's be clear.
It was not... yep. Taping this and taping that and having flyovers. And they've been accused.
Yes.
This is one of my favorites, right? They were accused of jamming radio signals inside Gillette Stadium.
What, John Harbaugh?
Oh, I don't know. It could have been. But they were accused of jamming signals inside Gillette Stadium. Do you know what the NFL rule book says that if communications break down between one coaching staff?
Yes, I do.
They have to shut everybody down.
Yeah.
Everybody loses
And that happened in the game.
Yeah.
That
everybody loses it. No, it's over.
That's it.
So if the Patriots jam the signal and they go and the team goes, oh, we're not getting any radio.
Okay.
Boom. First thing, they blow the whistle, stop the clock.
So is Bill Belichick that much of a genius to know that his team is better equipped without communication, so therefore he just blows up all communication?
Oh, then... let's get to the Sports Illustrated article now before we even touch on Tom Brady stuff. Sports Illustrated, it has an article this week where they sort of just play devil's advocate, I think. And this writer, I think it was Mike Rosen, but he starts to put down all of the circumstantial evidence that's always been leveled against the Patriots. Okay?
It's probably a laundry list.
One of the things in this laundry list, okay, and I noticed it. The reason why this stuck out so much for me in the article is I was sitting directly across from the lighthouse at Gillette Stadium.
Yep.
And now about, geez, you were there with me earlier in the season when we were live tweeting from the
Oakland game. Oh, you mean the game that Oakland almost won when half the Patriots fans were outside?
Oh, dude, what a game.
And the only reason that they lost is because of bullshit holding. Dang. Bull holding call. Sorry, Ted, I'm trying.
Dude, I'm trying to keep Eric
swearing. We are trying to clean up the social, not just me, buddy.
All right. I haven't sworn yet.
Yeah.
So... with this, like, so Eric and I were at a game, and the reason why I bring that up is, do you recall when we were watching from the open end zone underneath the lighthouse, and you turn around, there was that huge TV up near CBS scene?
Oh, yes. It was placed there strategically so they could see it, and the other sideline can't.
Okay.
What? Really, the design of a multi-million dollar stadium?
On Belichick's cheating specifications.
Right.
Okay, that's the thing that I'm talking about.
The GC
about.
Went up to Belichick and said, where do you want this?
Yeah.
Now, I need the angle and the degree and the height. I need to know.
But here's the thing. One of the things that, again, during these TV timeouts, I'm a rather observant football
person. You're a student of the game.
I am.
You are.
And so...
most people watch the ball. You watch around the ball.
Biggest thing in the world. You never watch the football.
You watch the linemen. You're watching the linebackers. You're watching the corners.
Start at the line and work
your way
out.
It's the best way to watch a football game.
Without a doubt. So I was actually sitting there and I noticed that the TV out in the parking lot was showing the game. And I had noticed it because we had come in and the Packers-Seahawks game was still going on. And we were watching that inside the stadium.
I can't wait to get to that
and
game.
And interestingly
when we get
enough,
to real sports reporting.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, there was actually a little bit of a delay. Okay, so the stadium TVs and replays were tighter than what was going on the outside.
Of course.
So, and then I also noticed that the lack of fidelity on that television. This was not a high definition TV on the outside.
Only was it cheating on somebody.
So, no, but here's the thing: like it's almost like this guy's putting this out there. In what used to be...
And that's exactly what he's just doing.
All he's doing is putting it out there.
Putting it out there with no responsibility to it.
Nope, that's it. And now, so he's saying that maybe they could see a toe drag. Well, no, you know what? It would look like somebody spilled toothpaste on cleats. Yep. You couldn't understand what you were seeing. Yep. Like that. Like, there's
no. Do they know they have guys upstairs that are watching this stuff and have access to instant replays away and right into your headphone?
Do you mean the Microsoft Surface tablets that every single solitary coach?
But they need a jumbotron about
700 yards outside the stadium doors.
That's what they need to see a toe drag.
This is what I'm talking about. So.
It's lunacy.
Let's go back to this press conference thing where we left off at Bill Belichick throwing Tom Brady under the bus.
Right, and looking incredibly guilty. He was sweating bullets. Oh, my God, I've never seen him like that.
You know what? I want any of those people to have to go up there. All right, so here's the thing. I would love to see Ron Mott accused of a hit-and-run vehicular homicide. Well, he probably didn't do it, but let's say
he could have.
But he could have.
He could have. Nobody saw the car. It could have been his car.
Listen, were your tires properly inflated? Like what? You know, you think you can drink and drive.
Yes.
You think you can run. Yeah. So, Ron Mott, why don't you get up there in front of 27 networks, and instead of talking about what you know, football and the Super Bowl, that you're about to play in for the sixth time in 14 years.
Yep. You're talking about what you don't know.
Talking about what you don't
know. Write out your keister.
Thank you very much. I'm so proud of you right now. I'm proud of you, buddy. So now Bill Belichick finishes his press conference, and boy, everybody kind of goes, "Huh? I think I feel a little bit better about Bill Belichick's role in this. I don't think Bill Belichick really knew it.
I did.
I know.
That. I did.
But yeah. I was like,
as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah, no.
That's a dude who has no idea.
That confirmed what I had already suspected. And see, that's usually how you form a hypothesis.
Sure. Yeah. And that confirmed me. So, yes. Later in the day, Tom Brady goes up.
I was still uncertain about Brady at that point. I was uncertain.
So
until I saw the press conference.
So Tom Brady's press conference takes place at about 4:30 this afternoon, Eastern time, local.
Again, got moved up from it was supposed to be tomorrow. Yeah. Will Fork and them got bumped.
Yep. So what happens today?
Well, aside from him practically being attacked.
Practically being
attacked. I have a question for you. In Brady's career, has his integrity ever been questioned? Has he ever been caught in a lie publicly?
No. You know, like, no. You know what?
That type of deal. Does he have that reputation as a dirty player?
If you want to talk about like an integrity issue, I think that there was some, like, very early in his career when he left Bridget Moynihan. She was pregnant and stuff like that. And then he got together with a supermodel.
It's called love, man.
Oh, okay. But that, all right, fine. Like, but if you're asking about integrity.
Yeah.
And that looked sort of shady back 15 years ago, whatever it was. But as far as an athlete and a role model in the game.
Absolutely.
No, he's pretty much.
I mean, there's a reason why, I'm sorry, Will Baum refers to him only as the Golden Boy. If you notice that, it's been years. He will not say his name.
Yep.
It says the Golden Boy. Because his image is squeaky clean.
Okay.
Wholesome, corn-fed, just, you know, oh, gosh, shucks, type of person. So tell me, with a guy with that reputation, and goes up and answers the questions that are given, how on earth can someone have the balls to question him on it, literally as you ask him a question, Tom, did you have any knowledge of it? No knowledge of what's going on at all. I didn't do it. Really? Really? You didn't know?
So you didn't
know? No, I didn't know. You didn't know?
So you didn't know? So you didn't know? So when you were under center in the third quarter, you didn't realize?
Yeah.
Now, let's go back
to 47 degrees.
Okay, but it started
20 miles an hour wind. It started at 57.
It started like 57. It kind of came down. It was about like 47, I guess, about the third quarter.
20 mile an hour winds, 15 mile an hour
winds. It was bad because that's right when the bands of bad weather started to hit.
Inch of rainfall per hour.
Dude, it was pouring. It was funny. I had actually come home and I took off my hoodie and I threw it on the floor of my office. and then on Tuesday, I went to pick my laundry up and it was still wet. Like it was
a little musty.
It was rough, man. My wife wasn't thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But that night, so put yourself in that position.
And by the way, you're worried about not getting killed by a cornerback blitz or inside linebacker coming to tear your head off. You're focusing on how firm that ball is when the center snaps it to you.
Particularly today.
Come on.
So the questions keep going. So the questions start relatively easy but related to the story. Like, Tom, did you have anything to do with it? And he said, you know, I showed up about 5 hours, you know, before halftime happened or whatever. But I showed up early because it was a playoff game. I showed up 5 hours early. I checked the balls. I saw the equipment guys. And I had said to them, you know, great job. These are the ones I want to use tonight. And it was on this case, and sometimes it's 12 balls, 16, 18, but tonight it happened to be 24.
24.
These are the ones I checked, and I said, these are the ones I want to use. And then I left them.
And assumed that every ball he touched after that was the balls that he okayed. Okay, was that? Why would he think otherwise?
Okay, that there's a question. I don't know
the answer. No, Tom, why? Why? Why?
Well, let's see. Here's the thing. So Tom Brady goes to start the game, and I was actually a little bit surprised. Almost the passes seemed like the weather was affecting them, like they were underthrown a little bit. Yep. He had Edelman
on a couple of wobblers.
Dude, he had Edelman dead, like on a perfect wide open, and he underthrew him dramatically. And Edelman came back and made a great catch. But there was like five drops in the first half. And it was one of those things where I was like, wow, like he seems sharp. Like the ball seems to be getting there, but the receivers don't seem to be that sharp or whatever. But there's a thing about the fact that it's pretty easy. By the way, got a great statistic for you. 28 times Tom Brady threw to the first guy in his pattern.
Yep.
28 times. Now, hold on. I'm going to go back to this one.
So in his progression, his first progression.
When a quarterback drops back to pass, but anywhere between two and five guys are going out for a pass.
Sure.
Okay. Five linemen, one quarterback, and up to five guys going out. That means he has progressions, and you've heard them say that. Like, oh, he goes through his progressions, he makes his
reads. And some people can't, and some people can't.
That's kind of one of those knocks on certain quarterbacks. Like, you know,
which is why they never get over the hump, because they don't go through their progressions properly and fast. It's got to be fast.
It's got to be an instant. Yep. Like, basically, you have sort of a panoramic view. Yep. You start at read one and sort of sweep across.
Yep.
And your ability to read the defense, which is, again,
Just like Madden.
This is an important part of this, though. Yeah, you're right, though. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Like, so this is an important part because the progressions. But now, what I'm trying to get at here is the things that are going on in a quarterback's mind in the third quarter of a football game in the AFC Championship game when you're only up by 10.
You're talking about this a lot, maybe? Now, Ted, that seems like common sense to me. So why isn't that sinking in when these reporters, I'm using air quotes if you couldn't tell, can't fathom that? Well, how can you not know? What do you mean? Do you not know the game of football at all? Do you not have any common sense?
It's clear that the 27 network sent representatives that were not dialed into the game itself.
They sent a bunch of pit bulls. That's what they did. They sent a bunch of people that knew next to nothing, knowing that they would just keep chipping away at them.
So now, this is Tom Brady at the press conference saying, you know, hey, guys, you didn't notice a difference between the ball in the first half and the second half? He said, no, I have a lot I have to do. Well, Tom Brady has to go and get the play call from the sidelines from Josh McDaniels. He gets it over his headset. He gets into the huddle. He goes and brings everybody up to the line. And then 11 guys on the other side of the field all get into their position. Tom Brady has to individually read each and every one of those 11 guys' positions and what their responsibilities are on that particular play.
I'm not the mic.
What's that?
I'm not the mic.
Yeah, I'm not the mic. So Tom Brady has to read each and every one of those guys' individual responsibilities, starting at one of his receivers and the blocking schemes. And you ever hear Tom Brady go, 53's the mic, 53's the mic.
I'm not the mic.
He's actually diagnosing what the defense and the middle of the defense, because Mike is the middle linebacker. So Tom Brady's got his mind all over the place. Now we have a 20-mile-an-hour wind. Now we have a deluge, a biblical rainstorm.
It's in the 40s.
70,000 people screaming. Yeah, you know what?
You got adrenaline, and you're going to feel a difference of 2 pounds per square inch.
You know what, Ron Mott? He probably didn't know.
Yeah, probably.
He probably didn't know. Now, Eric and I were talking about this a little bit earlier when we kind of pregame it on the show, and we brought up the fact that, like, how did they not know? I actually heard Mike Felger, a guy who my favorite broadcasters in all of New England are Felger and Maserati. The Felger and Maz show is
not a huge fan.
I'm a huge, huge fan of these guys. But I'm listening to them saying when they took the ball out of play, Brady and Belichick knew they were bagged.
Yes.
They knew they were caught.
Yeah, sure.
They did?
Really?
How? When? Like when they took the ball out, again, we're talking about a driving rainstorm, and apparently the ref said the game ball's not ready.
Yep.
And threw them back another ball to play with. And then they went on to destroy the Colts.
Yeah.
Just destroy them.
A 157 passer rating in the second half.
And 157.3 is perfect.
With these perfect balls. These appropriate league, you know, accepted balls and weight and all that other stuff. 157.
Now, let me ask you a question that I touched on a little bit earlier, okay? Ray Rice nearly, and this is not an exaggeration, nearly murdered a woman in an elevator. And
yeah, sure.
Why do I say he nearly murdered her?
Well, first off, people have died from punches to the head before. And did you see the carom, how her head caromed off the rail of the elevator?
Dude, it looked like a bank shot in a Harlem Globetrotters game. Yeah. All
right? Right there.
So he came.
Put your lights out.
He came a nanometer from murdering this woman with a punch to the head.
Yep.
Okay. 27 Network show up at that press conference?
No. Did anybody question him?
And with grill the ferocity, him?
Yeah.
With the ferocity that
man,
they went after Tom
this
Brady,
man Stone Cold knocked out his fiance.
Here's something that came up in this, and this was also
what about,
a film.
No, what about Peterson? He rips the scrotum of his kid wide open, and you know who the bad guy is?
It's Roger Goodell.
It's Roger Goodell for keeping him longer out than two games because he said two games. And, you know, and who's the bad guy with Ray Rice?
It's Roger Goodell.
And the owner because, you know, they released him and they shouldn't have. They're all the bad guys.
So but, everybody, yeah. Now, but now the Patriots, see, this is again, this isn't the necessarily as much of the hate us because you ain't us kind of thing and all of that stuff. But,
no, that's the average fan.
But that's the average fan. That's the guy who lives in Baltimore
and some other teams.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah, and
Goodell
now,
even
Goodell. We'll
he's
find
got
out
a hair across his keister for Belichick.
But I don't think Belichick cares at all about.
No, him. No, Goodell would love nothing more than to bury Belichick with this,
and
he can't.
Unless, well,
he
hold on,
can't
wait. We'll get to that in a second. So as we're continuing on with this little thing about Brady, one of the things that came up at the end was the amount of time that Brady was out there. Now, Belichick was out there for 11 minutes. Brady was out there for 30 minutes. That was sort of the thought of between Felger and Maz, again, particularly. And I hate that I'm bringing these guys to task on a couple of these things because they've been spot on a lot of this stuff.
Not this, though.
Okay? But then he was out. Look how long they left him out there. How long they left him out there. Right near the very end of Brady's press conference, he said, guys, I got to go. Stacy told me to wrap it up about 10, 15 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. That's Stacy James. That's the PR director for the Patriots. So right around the exact same amount of time that Belichick would have been out there, they were going, time, you're done.
Yeah,
you don't
like,
have to
enough
be out
is
there.
Enough
is enough.
Yep.
Brady was the one who stayed out there.
Because he kept getting the same dumb questions asked as if he was a liar.
Yes, correct. And that he was oblivious. And one of the things somebody brought up was, well, if a baseball player, if his bat is 2 ounces off, he's going to know. Or if a pitcher feels like the threads of the ball are too high, he's going to know. And he starts bringing up these analogies.
You mean the slowest game on the planet?
Yeah, correct. All right. But here's the other thing. Not one of the sports that they mentioned where equipment is important. Do you have 11 guys looking to end your night instantly?
No, end your career.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we talked about DaQuell Jackson intercepting that ball in the second quarter.
So full of it.
That didn't happen.
No.
So you
that
need to know now.
That was not the catalyst. He did not intercept the ball. We just said it earlier. And then go to his coach and say, something wrong, coach. That ball's too soft, coach.
So as we round out our first hour, I want to give you my hypothesis about what happened here. And because
go ahead,
all
man.
We can do
is
share hypothesis.
Yep.
Share
in a
hypothesis.
Reasonable, semi-educated, open-minded way.
Correct. Now, we can extrapolate from these reports that are out there, but without anything necessarily, you know, from the NFL.
And there's not.
I think that Tom Brady showed up at the stadium as he normally would early on AFC Championship because this was, what, his fourth in a row?
Yep.
Yeah. It's his fourth in a row.
Fourth. And we talked about this at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
When you know, we addressed this stuff.
Half
and we
of
said
his
he'll be going to his fourth AFC Championship
because
game in a row.
Because this means half of the time that he has been in the NFL, he's ended his season in the AFC. He's been in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Half of his seasons. So,
but it must be because he's the most dishonest quarterback. And he's a cheater, too.
So now, here's my hypothesis. He shows up at the stadium. He kind of gets himself into his routine. And part of his routine is going to check the balls.
Yep.
One of two things happens. He either gets the footballs in his hand and he starts to examine them or whatever. And he may even
like
take...
Like he says, he feels... He doesn't necessarily spend all the time squeezing the ball. He's more for the...
The grip.
Yep, the grip. You know, the tack to it, you know what I mean?
He'll fling it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just kind of see how they are. And
kind of the feel of it.
Entirely plausible.
Whatever he's comfortable
that he
with.
Gets one that he loves the feel of, and it's a little hard, and he says to one of the equipment guys, take a little air out of this one for me.
And make them like that,
and
perfect.
And ready? Ready? That's it. The air's out of it.
Yep.
Okay, the air's out of it.
Yep.
Now, the weather did not play a role in this.
No.
At all.
No.
So, anybody says the weather,
if we were talking 20 and 10 degree weather, absolutely plausible. That's a fact.
It
could
happen.
Not even plausible. It's a fact that the ball will lose air pressure, actually 20% for every 10 degrees once you drop below 20 degrees.
And now...
That's a fact.
If, as we continue on, Brady checks the footballs and goes about his business.
Okay.
The referees come in a little bit later. The equipment manager says these are the ones that Tom wants to use tonight.
Okay.
And they check them.
Yeah.
Okay. But don't use a gauge.
They didn't. I guarantee you, man. I guarantee you.
They used them probably at halftime.
Yeah, absolutely.
When somebody gets the word that something's up.
Yep.
And I think that word might have come from the former employer of Chuck Pagano, John Harbaugh.
Yeah, John. Oh, absolutely.
And the reason I say John Harbaugh... If we go back to a couple of weeks earlier. A little tit for tat. Because if you recall Tom Brady's post-game press conference after the divisional round.
He said that it was illegal. When John Harbaugh said it was an illegal formation. Very deceptive. And pretty much calling them cheaters.
What did Brady say?
Read a rule book. He needs to read the rule book.
And what did John Harbaugh think?
We knew what we were doing.
And John Harbaugh thought, oh yeah, I'll read the rule book.
Yep.
Let's check the ball.
Yep.
Let's check the ball.
Yeah.
And then talks to Chuck Pagano. And at halftime, instead of getting their team ready to go out and try to overcome a 10-point deficit.
Right. He's worried
about
the Colts
all run around trying to get the balls taken out of play.
Yeah.
And you saw the result
of
that.
Come on, Chuck. And how come we haven't heard from Chuck?
We haven't heard from Ed. The only thing that we've heard from Colts is they could have used soap against us. And they still would have beat our asses. We got a long way to go.
Who said that?
I was one of the middle linebackers. Okay. I apologize for not
having that. I'm just asking again, because I'm going to tie that into the whole, they're playing the Seahawks.
Correct.
One of the biggest trash-talking teams in the NFL,
not,
with the biggest trash-talker in Richard Sherman.
And by the
and
way...
not a single one of them has said anything negative about this.
No.
They actually said it's not a big deal.
No, and actually, one of the things the Seahawks, one of the guys on the Seahawks, and it wasn't Sherman, but had actually said... if anybody thinks that the Patriots won't be ready because of this, that's why they're not playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because this is why.
That's a good comment. That's a good quote.
It's why.
Yeah.
Because if you think that the Patriots are going to let this get in their heads, forget it. We better get ready for their best.
If anything, I'd be a little bit more nervous that, like really? They're gonna charge up the Patriots like they need any more of a reason to play
exactly.
hard?
Exactly.
Come on. You don't kick the bed. Just like
you don't
Michael Jordan...
Yep.
You didn't instigate him. He was good enough as it was.
Yeah.
If you did something that was...
If you turned him...
Oh, my God. Forget about it.
Exactly. Don't push
the buttons. He'd make his personal mission to destroy you.
Now we're talking about these press conferences, and I don't recall... I recall Ray Rice nearly murdering his fiance in an elevator, and somehow Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the league, becomes the bad guy.
Absolutely.
And I remember the NFL Network and ESPN and a couple of sports networks covered it.
Yep.
I don't remember 27 networks.
Nope.
Dude, we're talking about the possibility of somebody with nefarious intent removing some air from a football. Okay?
Possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. Allegedly. Again, nothing has been proved.
And who's alleging it?
And who's alleging
That's
it?
That's my point.
Okay. This is, again, we go
back. Yeah, where's my official word? That's what I want.
All right. Now, there has not been an official statement from the NFL.
Nope.
When we see that, we might get the answers that we want.
But it won't be the answer that the rest of the country wants.
And with that, Eric and I are going to take a brief break. We're going to come back and we're actually going to talk about a little bit of football.
Yeah, we're going to talk sports instead of this malarkey.
But We hope that you all stick around with us for a few more minutes, and we'll be back on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And don't forget to hit us up on Facebook.
At facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Twitter, at ericandtedics.
And iTunes, subscribe, people. That way you don't have to worry about checking it. iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Hit subscribe. You'll get alerted every time we pop up.
And we're also going to be on SoundCloud starting this week as well.
Yes, we are.
Dude, I seriously have the massivest crush on that woman, Tanya Donnelly.
She is wicked cute.
She is wicked hot. So we're back with Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. And now, let's actually get to the meat of the matter. Let's talk about football.
Let's do something that nobody else in radio is doing right now and talk about sports.
Bring us back to the NFC Championship game.
Let me ask. Seem like a day late and a dollar short, but nonetheless.
Let me ask you this most important question.
Yes.
Did Seattle have an epic comeback? Or did Green Bay totally just pee down their leg and blow it?
It's both.
Okay.
It's both. Because
break this game down for me.
You can't say that it was just all Seattle. Now, obviously, they had to do what they had to do.
Okay.
And that's kind of Russell's thing. He does what's needed to be done when it needs to be done.
So how do you, he didn't need the four interceptions that he threw? Like,
again, two of them were tipped. Two of them were tipped by the receivers and right into the bread baskets of the defenders. You know what I mean? That's kind of tough ones to swallow. But definitely, it's his first in his career. First time he's thrown four interceptions. It was a total of five turnovers when he had the fumble. But the amount of mistakes that Green Bay made.
Starting with?
The interception. The interception and the 20 yards of freedom that he had, and he decided to just take a knee at 5 minutes.
And the fact that he couldn't have made it around that corner.
He had a guaranteed 20 yards. End of story. End of story. He's guaranteed, and it showed from like 20 different angles. A couple of days after the game.
My favorite was the coach's angle, one that pulled back coach's angle.
Yeah.
And you see Julius Peppers waving his arms.
Yeah, tell him to stop.
Well, hold on. And look, put you in the head of Julius Peppers for a second, and maybe this is what he was thinking. There's 5 minutes left in the game. You're up by two scores.
Yeah.
You have Aaron Rodgers, who
got stuffed by the defense twice.
You have the best quarterback in the NFL.
And the best defense. You can't justify that to me, Ted.
No. I'm not trying to justify it. They may have been thinking.
And the problem
I have isn't even necessarily with that. The way that the Packers broke down. First
mistake, by the way.
Go for
was it. Was in the first quarter.
And that was not scoring touchdowns.
I'm sorry. It's, you know, the second one, they should have kicked the field goal. That first drive.
Yep.
They should have went for it. If they don't get it, fine. You have the Seahawks on the one inch line.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is they clearly, for 3 2/3 quarters, had the Seahawks dead to rights. That was one of the best defensive plans I have ever seen against that team.
Yes, absolutely. Russell Wilson's defense was phenomenal.
Everybody knows that Russell Wilson's move. He's going to drop back. If he gets pressure, he rolls to the left.
Yep.
That's what his move is.
Yep.
Boop, roll to the left. Boop, roll to the left.
A couple of sacks doing that.
Couldn't even do it. Exactly. Yeah. Because they had a guy sitting right there waiting for him.
Absolutely.
So totally took away what he wanted.
Yep.
Why were there 4 interceptions? You said a couple of them bounced off and right into guys' hands.
Yep.
Well, you know why? Because there was somebody around it all the time.
Yes, they were
and
ball
he's
hawking.
Not. Yeah. And he's not. He's a good quarterback. You know that. I'm not busting balls.
Yep.
He's not built on his pocket acumen, as it were.
No, of
like,
course.
Like, he's not
and
a
obviously being
Rodgers,
young,
Brady.
And,
yeah.
And being young, too. Manning. And Brady wasn't what he was at that age. But
yeah.
You're right. That's not a strong. Not to say that he can't do it, because we've seen him do it.
No, I've seen him
many times.
Yeah, I've seen him thread the needle. But when you ask him to do that the whole game, he throws 4 interceptions.
Against a great defensive scheme. That was phenomenal, what the Green Bay Packers did with their defense.
So how on earth, with 5 minutes left in the game, do you leave everybody completely and totally unabashedly wide open constantly on every single time they needed to make a play? There's a guy wide open.
It is the oldest cliche, one of the oldest cliches. Prevent defense does one thing.
It prevents you from winning. Why? But they had them dead. They had shut them out.
But on the flip side of that, he made some great throws.
Oh, he did. He did.
He made some. They
but he also.
And talk about the balls. That's the theme of the day. Talk about the balls to stick with the run. No other coach or other team would do that ever.
Now, okay, you remember the 2-point conversion at the end of that game. How like long said, was that ball up in the air?
The mistakes that were made.
That's what I'm talking
about.
It's
so phenomenal, the amount of them. And I forgot who said it. But, and it was while it was on air, at the very least, tackle that guy. Just tackle him so they get a 1-yard penalty out of it. Tackle him.
Tackle him.
And pass into fear. Kick him in
the
balls.
The 24-yard run by Marshawn Lynch
at
the end of that game.
Yep.
That 24-yard run, he wasn't touched. That wasn't beast mode. That wasn't breaking tackles.
No, but he did one beast mode.
but this is
what
I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Where did all of a sudden the defense disappear? And then, by the way, this was the best story. You recall the fake field goal. Okay, the fake field goal.
Yeah.
Their special teams coach had sat down, he apparently had gone through and created this play called Charlie Brown. What you saw was this play, Charlie
it's
Brown.
It's only going to happen if...
That particular linebacker was on the field on that particular side at that moment.
Wasn't it Hawk?
Yeah. No, it wasn't It wasn't Hawk. It was one of the other middle linebackers.
You're right. No, you're right. Okay.
I apologize for not knowing his name, but only if that guy was going to be on the field on that side.
He's over-aggressive.
Yep.
That's the book on that guy.
What we're going to do is Charlie Brown and Lucy. Kicker's going to be Charlie Brown. Holder's going to be Lucy. Lucy's going to pick the ball up. Charlie Brown's going to miss it. And that guy's going to be totally uncovered down the end.
Yep, because he's going to bite because he's going to act like he's running first. And that's what he did.
Exactly. And it worked to a T.
Oh, yeah.
And want to talk about coaching?
Get the guy wide
you
open.
You want to talk
that's
about
what
coaching?
Kick-started that offense.
Yep.
Sometimes it takes something, a quirky play.
And now, this is where you had two teams that had drilled each other this whole game.
Absolutely.
When coaching finally took over, was at the McCarthy end of that game.
Out-coached.
McCarthy was out-coached, but not just McCarthy. It was his defensive coordinator. Yep. It was his special teams coach. That onside special kick.
Teams,
That onside kick. You know what that guy's job is?
Is to get down.
No, it's to hit the first guy. The guy who lost the ball.
And also to get out of the way of the ball.
It's to hit the first guy who's coming at it.
Yep.
And instead, he goes to climb the ladder and get it. While Jordy Nelson's on the field next to him.
Not next to him, right behind him.
To catch
his
that ball.
His job was to move and like you said.
And take out that guy who's coming at him.
Who's coming at him. Yep. And Jordy Nelson's supposed to catch that ball. And he knows it. And he even said, if I did my job, Jordy Nelson would have gotten that ball.
Talk about a theme.
Okay. But then again, on the flip side of that, did you see the recovery?
By the way, the perfect onside kick.
Yeah, perfect onside kick.
The perfect onside kick.
But he had to reach across and kind of scoop it into his body. It was a great play.
And he did that 5 feet in the air.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
The dude climbed the ladder.
And held on to it.
Yeah.
And held on to it. It was incredible.
And then they need a big first down. And they throw
giant
rainbow.
First play, they ran it.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody else does that.
Well, when I was watching Inside the NFL, and when Russell Wilson had come off to the sidelines, Pete Carroll had said to him, or when he was about to go out on the field, he said, we can run the ball. We have all the time we need now.
Yep.
Like, we have 2 minutes, nine
and
seconds.
And they still have the timeouts.
Yeah, and they still had, yeah.
They knew they were getting an onside kick, so.
And then they go ahead by 3. 22-19.
And as soon as they scored, when Marshawn just, and actually, did you see him almost hesitate? He wanted to go down.
Oh, to take the knee to kill the clock.
He wanted to go down. But again, you can't.
Yeah.
In theory, it works. But we've all seen defenses stonewall a yard.
I'm
not saying they would have done that to Marshawn 4 times in a row.
No.
But just the chance. Risk versus reward, right?
There you go.
So you got to take the touchdown. Yeah. As soon as they did that, honestly, I knew the game was going to go into overtime.
Yeah.
There's no way that Green Bay doesn't get into field goal range. You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. And now, they get into field goal range. Again, they have Aaron Rodgers. He actually had completed a couple of plays, and they got into field goal range. They kicked the field goal. It was a great kick.
It was 48-yarder.
Yeah, it was. That's no gimme.
No.
In that rain,
matter
in that
fact,
weather.
The third down before that to get the extra 3 or 4 yards was 3 yards.
They got stuck.
Was huge.
Yeah. And yeah, they got to the spot they needed to be.
Yes, exactly.
Now, they get into overtime. Are you effing kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Could the ball have been thrown any more perfect?
No.
It was perfect.
How on earth do you let a guy get deep?
Single coverage.
Into single coverage deep.
Yep. And behind, ahead of you.
And behind you.
Yep.
How on earth does that happen to you?
Now, if they get a field goal, we all know with the new overtime rules, you get the ball back.
There you go. And so you give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers.
How do you let him catch it?
How do you let him catch it?
Even if he beats you.
He got position on you.
The pass is perfect. How did you let him catch it in that situation?
Yep. Grab him, pull him down.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
And so they keep making mistake after mistake after mistake. Now, you're right. It does take a guy to go out and execute.
Yep.
It takes players to go out and play the game.
And put all the previous bad plays behind them.
Yeah. So with all of that, that collapse...
Mm.
Is
epic.
Going to sting for a very long time.
Have you ever seen it, though, come out the way it came out? Usually you know what the team did to screw the pooch. It was literally like the next day it was, okay, it wasn't just the onside kick, guys. It was this interception. And the next day it was, well, it wasn't just that either. It was this. Look at this play. There was just so many
things
they did at the end that was just, really?
And that's kind of one of those things when we go back and you look at it. It's not just the fact that Clay Matthews sucks. And who, by the way, on some of the most important plays in the game, he wasn't on the field.
Yep, that's correct. If that
doesn't tell you what they think of him,
there on the big third down.
He's not there on the big third down.
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch's touchdown? He wasn't on the field.
And it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
It wouldn't have.
Nope.
But he's supposed to be this beast, right? He keeps selling jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He keeps selling hair products. But he doesn't sell, apparently, like people just... And again, goes back to what we talked about earlier.
Hey, he could be the salt of the earth, by the way. I have no clue.
I don't know.
He could be a great dude. But
he kind of strikes me as a frat boy.
Yeah.
Like,
he's got the look.
He kind of has that bro look. Yeah. He's like
bro.
He's like
bro.
Rob Lowe bro. And
that's a great commercial. That's a great commercial.
Every one of those.
I would say, bro.
What are you up to, Petersons? Like, that one's got to be. So, forget it. I digress.
Yeah, anyway.
So, that pretty much covers it for me in that game. The thing about that is that when it came time for that team to sack up and to show that they had the balls to hold a 19-0 lead, a 16-0 lead, 16-0 lead.
Yes,
I apologize.
Yes.
16-0 lead.
Yep.
Going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Couldn't do it.
Nope.
You couldn't do it.
Nope.
And a Super Bowl on the line.
You let the first touchdown be a fake field goal.
And a fake field goal.
Yep.
So your special teams collapses first.
Yep.
Your offense, obviously.
And it collapsed last.
Yeah, and it collapsed last. Your offense obviously peed down their own leg early in the game.
But,
because they didn't score the touchdowns when they needed
again,
to.
Again, coaching.
Coaching.
That's coaching. I don't this put is, that on Aaron Rodgers.
No, I don't either. But go
and
back.
And Starks, he ran actually pretty good.
Go back to the first week of the season.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers never once goes to Richard Sherman's
did
side
not
of the
throw
field.
It and said, I hope you get work this year. That was good.
Yeah.
That was clever.
And you know what? Aaron Rodgers doesn't call his own plays.
No.
The offensive genius.
Yep.
McCarthy calls plays for him. McCarthy wouldn't go on half of the field against Seattle. And then when it times to come Coco against them in the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
And you're ahead with 5 minutes to go by two scores.
Mm-hmm. And getting an interception
and getting
having the ball.
Interception and having the ball.
Three and out.
Couldn't
Loss
do it.
Of 3 yards.
Couldn't do it.
But again, we're talking about the league's best defense. So, but still, when it counted, -3 yards.
What did they do between the 20s? Yep. All game between the 20s.
Absolutely.
They were moving the ball.
Absolutely.
Moving the ball.
Yep.
So, Green Bay clearly doesn't deserve to be in the Super Bowl.
No.
Now,
and I know that some people wanted to see that matchup. They wanted to see Rodgers versus Brady. But again, we say all the time, it's never Rodgers versus Brady, Manning versus Brady, whatever.
No.
It's not. They don't go up against each other.
They're never on the field at the same time.
No, never on the field at the same time. So that's just, you know, fantasy. You know what I mean? Just kind of making it glamorous.
So let me put you on the spot here. Then.
This is the best matchup.
Oh, without these are the two best teams in football.
Period. And I think if we look back at episode one or two, I called this matchup. You weren't too far behind. You definitely saw that.
I think I had, yeah. And then, but there was a time where I didn't even think Seattle was going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I stuck by
now,
him.
They sacked up.
Oh, like, big time.
That's the thing.
Big
I've
time.
Been hypercritical of this team.
Yes.
All season long.
Yep.
But you know
for
what?
Good reason.
When
but
it
they
counted,
turned it around. Yep.
When it counted, these dudes came up as big as any I have ever seen.
They're a team.
And you know what's funny?
And they're well coached.
It's almost like it goes beyond it. Like they've gone to that like that rare plateau of achieving a family dynamic.
Yeah, because where's their superstar wide receiver?
They don't have one. And there's not even a superstar quarterback. Like
There's a star. Absolutely.
There's a superstar in the making.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Where are their superstars?
Yep.
There's one.
Lynch, and then you got a couple. Actually,
Cam Chancellor. I know you want to call him Chancellor.
That,
but when did the
big.
General public knows who on that team?
It's because the general public's stupid. They know Richard Sherman.
They know Richard Sherman, and they know
Marshawn Lynch. And Earl Thomas.
Okay.
They should.
They may
I'm
know
sorry.
Earl Thomas.
They should.
Did they know that Brandon Browner, Patriots cornerback, was on the Seattle Seahawks?
And by the way, they let him go because he wasn't even their top three cornerback.
Yeah. And so... And
there's a reason they said, just go ahead.
Go ahead.
We got plenty.
Yeah. And so this is how good that team is.
Yep.
And then when it... time to come Coco.
Yep.
What happens? They sack up. They man up. They are their brother's keeper. And they beat the crap. They finish an entire game in under 5 minutes.
Yep.
And that was
They scored epic. Two touchdowns in 47 seconds.
Epic.
Yeah.
And that was, and it's as much as a collapse as that was, if the other team's not there to pull it off, then
it means nothing.
That means nothing.
And nobody's talking about taking the knee on the interception. Nobody's talking about going forward on the first and second, first and second go rounds. But just think, though, we were this close to Marshawn Lynch not even playing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Why don't you tell me?
The NFL, he wanted to wear
gold cleats.
Gold cleats. Mm-hmm. Now we all know the NFL is very stickler for their uniforms. But takes it to a next level and tells Marshawn, not only will we flag you as soon as you touch the field, if you don't take them off, we will kick you out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Kick him out of the game. NFC Championship game. Mega superstar running back. I'm going to kick you out of the game for the color of your cleats.
Now, they could fine him.
Dominic and Sue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to step on you twice in the same game on purpose.
Yep.
Don't suspend me because it's the playoffs, though.
Right.
I'm going to kick you out of the game, Marshawn Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Better not wear those cleats.
Yep. And do you think
and so? That crotch grab at the end,
yep.
That's not to the team. See, people think that's him doing that to Green Bay.
Do you think
he is not doing that to Green Bay? That's to the league.
Well, do you think that in a case like Marshawn Lynch and that stuff, do you think there's a sort of an acrimony that's building between the two of them because he won't do the mandatory press conferences mm-hmm. legit? And
but they've gotten progressively worse the more the NFL has forced it on him, if you notice.
Well, clearly, but that's sort of what my point is.
Yep.
Like, he sort of needs to know. Like, I'm for individuality and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's all well and good. But again, like, this is a guy that we talked about earlier in the season. They are probably not going to have him back, was the talk. Remember?
Yes,
now, that might change now.
That might change. It might not. Who knows?
But
we know he's happy there.
You know, and he's due money.
Yes.
So he may not be back there, whatever, and all that stuff. So he wasn't too happy for a little while during the course
right.
of the season.
Right. Yeah, matter of fact, he held out.
He did.
He held out. I remember talking about this.
This was, again, a big, big part of our early football season conversation.
But what happens, he comes back and he does his job. He does his job every single game.
And
he doesn't give anybody crap. He just does his job. And then when it comes to the press conference,
he
what are you gonna
gives
do?
Him crap. I think he should go Ricky Williams.
Thank you very
much.
Good
question. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And that's irritating to the NFL. And after what happened with Tom Brady
today. And that's why I don't care. Right there.
No, you know what? I got to say that I kind of fall on the other side of that one where, you know what? It's not asking.
I don't always support it. I don't know. I don't always support his choices with the. So don't get me wrong. But when I see. And it's not just with the Brady and Belichick conference. You see these sports reporters ask asinine questions.
Sure.
Go out of their way to try to make you look stupid sometimes. So once in a while, I don't mind him giving the middle finger to those guys.
Okay, once in a while.
Yes.
But that's the problem. Now, But see, this is the thing. If the NFL's light on him in this regard, okay, if they don't give him crap about this...
Yep.
Then that's where all of it starts to unravel.
Yes. Now, I don't support the, and I see it out there, the leave Marshawn Lynch alone.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the NFL just leave? Well, because you can't.
Because it's not, this is not part of the plan.
Let alone the fact that he is a mega superstar and top running back in the league. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave him alone. He'll be the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
No.
No,
but there's other ways that the league could have handled it in the past where I don't think it would have gotten this bad.
No, but then again, if you let him be the exception to the rule, then all of a sudden maybe Vince Wilfork goes, I want to be an exception too.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts to come unravel. Now, he goes out there with the gold cleats on. Now, if he didn't say a word and just showed up with him...
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have thrown him out of the game, and they just would have hit him with a fine, and it would have been like whatever $25,000 for non-standard uniform.
I don't know. I don't know. The word could have come down after the first penalty to just keep flagging him until the coach takes him off the field. Who knows?
Well, that might have been the case. But why does he have to go and tell them I'm going to wear gold cleats? Well, you can't.
Just letting them know. Just giving you a heads up.
Yeah. Okay. Then our heads up back is you can't. Well, I'm going to anyway. Okay, well, if you do, we're going to have to tell you to get out of the game.
Yeah, but see, I think that's a total
wrong. No, like, that's it is if it's the first
I'll cut your foot off. I'll cut your foot off if you wear those cleats.
Nobody said they're going to cut their foot off.
No, if you do that, we'll penalize you, and we're going to fine the hell out of you. I'm going to kick you out of the game? How is that proportionate?
It is if you, every single solitary time you go to do a press conference, you're an asshole about it. Or every time you score a touchdown, you grab your junk.
It wasn't every time.
Okay, every time in the last 3 weeks.
Okay, that's
all right, fine. So he goes out and starts to push their buttons. This wasn't an isolated thing where his socks weren't right and they threw him out of a game.
No.
This was a precedent that he was setting.
Still don't.
This was something that he was doing.
What? I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Tony Flacco, Clay Matthews. You can't kick a guy out of a playoff game because of the color of his cleats.
Well, and maybe it never would have come up had he gone out onto the field with the gold cleats. And
Maybe. We'll never know. But in the end, he goes with the gold on the bottom, and it is what it is. He wasn't going to wear them. It just wasn't going to happen. He wanted to wear gold cleats.
Why though? But why?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't ask his reasoning. And I'm sure he was expecting what a normal person would expect. Be like, there's a consequence to it. Your team's probably going to get flagged. You know, the first play of the game, and you are going to have to pay for this. You're going to have to pay for this money.
Okay.
And that's what he was willing to accept for that. Like, all right, well, I want to wear my cleats. That's fine. Whatever fine you give me, I'll pay. Just like we talk about with the Patriots, right? If you do something, there's a cause and effect. Spygate, you put the camera in the wrong thing, so you suffer the penalty, end of it.
Oh,
the penalty shouldn't be, I'll kick you out of the game.
It's not the end of it, and you just made a great connection, and thank you. And we can end our Seahawks conversation on this. The Patriots, we're talking about the possibility of deflated footballs.
Yes.
27 networks from around the country and possibly North America are chewing themselves apart to be at this press conference to grill Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Yep.
And you didn't know that the Cleveland Browns are getting in trouble right this minute for texting each other on the sidelines. You didn't know that.
No. That's a big no-no.
Why the Patriots? Because, one, a precedent had been set.
And they're the Patriots.
Yep. Why Marshawn Lynch? A precedent had been set, and that's Marshawn Lynch.
I disagree. I don't see that connection. You're kind of forcing that one a little bit.
No, I'm not.
I'm sure you are.
No, I'm not. A precedent has been set. Has Marshawn
Lynch... All right, so why wasn't Ndamukong Suh suspended? There's a precedent set, right? He's done it before.
Because they bought his... Hey, I'm not comparing that. They bought his story. He said it was cold, and I didn't feel his feet underneath me.
Do you think they bought it?
They clearly bought it, or he would have been out.
See, I think they waffled. I think they were worried about the backlash of taking out a player of that caliber out of a playoff game. I don't think they bought the story. Do you really think that they bought his excuse? Nobody else did.
Tell me something different. Nobody else did. Why was Dominic Raiola allowed to play after spearing like guys 3 weeks in a row and like ridiculous?
There's a lot of disproportionate, and whether it be precedent set or whatever, on both ends of it.
And Marshawn Lynch is grabbing his junk.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. I didn't like that one at the end.
Okay, he's done it against the Cardinals. He's done it against... Yeah.
We still saw it, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
All 27 cameras saw you, buddy.
And you think that that's like... But so that doesn't set some sort of precedent?
No. Precedents are fine. I just don't think that the league should just start making shit up. Guarantee you there's nothing in there about... kicking a player out of a game.
Oh, I bet. I bet there is. If there's a uniform standard, and if you are not met with uniform standard at the kickoff of the game, you are not allowed to play. I guarantee it's.
We'll bring that up on the next show.
We'll put it on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/ Eric and Ted.
Yeah.
Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our web. Wait, did we do our website?
No, we haven't.
Oh, our website, ericandted.com, and iTunes.
Look us up on iTunes at Eric and Ted Ice Cream Social.
So now, as we get ready for Super Bowl week, of course, we will be back next week to cover the upcoming game. We want to let you get out of here with a little clip of the press conference. Okay,
We do have a press conference
clip. Yes, we do. So you guys can listen to that as we sign off, and hopefully it answers some questions for you.
All right. Thanks for joining us on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
All right. Hey, everyone, shut up. All right. Now, first off, let's all not pretend to be so surprised and shocked that this is happening. Yous all know the script by now. Pats kick ass all season. Pats go to a Super Bowl in Arizona. Pats get accused of some cheaty garbage. Everyone in America roots against the Pats. Belichick, Spygate, Deflategate, blah, blah, blah. Deflate my tip. Give me a break. I'm sure that a deflated football is the reason why LeGarrette Blount was able to run through the Colts defense in the AFC Championship like a hot knife through a froyo. Watching the Pats have their way with the Colts was like watching my fat sister get after a pepperoni pizza after she gets dumped. Which happens a lot, because she's a f***ing nightmare. 11 of 12 footballs were deflated. Oh, no. You know what's not deflated? My love of the friggin' Pats. You hate us? Because you ain't us. Oh, and as far as giving you all something to talk about during the two-week stretch between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl, you're welcome.
Fitzy, given that the Patriots are caught bending the rules years ago with Spygate, do you think they'd really be brazen enough to try something like that again?
Hey, we got caught with our dick in the cookie jar back in 2007 with Spygate, and we haven't had to stop hearing about it since then. Oh, and what have the Pats done since then? I don't know, maybe win more games than anyone else in football? We've been to 6 Super Bowls. The second closest team has been to 3, which means that's double. Nerds.
Come on, Fitzy. No one's going to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt. How are you going to handle all the scrutiny?
Ah, you know, the huge. We ignore the noise. You embrace the hate. It's the coal that fires our engine. That and beer. Calzones. Revenge porn. Okay, Groupon School of Journalism, you got one more.
Fitzy, at a time when you should be celebrating another Patriots Super Bowl appearance, does this latest issue take a little bit of the air out of it?
Does it take a little bit of the air out of it? Well, I see what you did there. Really, Mac? I was cool with you getting my sister pregnant. But this? Insulting the Patriots? How dare you? Don't you understand what this means to us? This is Tommy and Bill going to get their fourth. The one to shut them all up. This is more important than all the hot dogs and nachos in the world. This is more important than discovering that there's a f***ing bat cave in the basement of my house. This is more important than it raining boobs outside. So no, our balls are not deflated. They're as full as they've ever been. Swollen with pride. So go ahead, talk all you want about our balls. Weigh them, touch them, inspect them, suck them. Just know that nothing you say could ever take the air of joy out of our balls. All right, I got to go home and stroke my Arizona boner some more. But if you guys really want to know how we got the air out of those 11 balls, I'll show you.
We smoked them, just like we did the Colts. Go f*** yourselves. Let's go, Pats!
Balls.
That was fucking great.